Welcome to your Generic Live Show. This is the Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell.
Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday. So good to be here. This is the Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell. So good to be with you. We are right on the nose today, and that's not gonna stay for very long. Thanks for joining us here on the Sunday. We'll get to the big stories of the week. Here we've got a jam-packed show for you. For a Sunday, this Sunday, the 16th of October, it is right on the mark at 9 o'clock. And before we get to start the broadcast in 30 seconds here, but want to tell you to all of our friends here on Geek.io, we are now officially live at geek-io.net/live. You can join us there every single Sunday from 7 till 9 a.m. over there. We sound like an AM broadcaster. You can join us 7 to 9, Sunday mornings, Sundays, 7 to 9 a.m. right there on the geek-io.net, 7 to 9 Eastern time, by the way. Just want to put that out there. You can, of course, you can join us here on YouTube from 9 to 11 in Australia, by the way. Just want to put that out there. But come November, our time slot will change. Our time slot will be pushed back an hour to be from 10 till midnight, but we will inform you of that change as it gets closer, and we'll inform you of events. That we will do that announcement recap show before we also get started. I want to mention the fact that the Generic Live Show, for the first time in its, I reckon, some fanfare will be appropriate here. For the first time since the show's opening, I am loading fanfare. In the first ever time, the Generic Live Show has its own official email. You can email the show directly. And my fanfare is not working. There it is. We're a bit slow. We're a bit slow on the production board this evening, but we'll push on nevertheless. Thank you. We're not in the Emporium. How is the crowd fitting in to the studio here? I don't know. I don't know how, but anyway. It's just genericliveshow@gmail.com. Genericliveshow@gmail.com. Email the show directly. That's where all the show emails are going from here on in. You can send MP3s. You can play audio on the show. That's my thing. If you have a call in and you want to, you know, voice an opinion on the show, genericliveshow@gmail.com is where you can send those to me. Rightio. So let's get hook, line, and sinker into this program. The same sex plebiscite. A story from earlier in the week, and a story that we've been following here quite religiously at the Generic Live Show. Guess what? It's dead. The plebiscite has been blocked for good as Labour stands behind the blockage for the same-sex plebiscite. I think the ABC has the best coverage of it, so we'll be referring to them a lot when it comes to this. We'll be talking about this in both hours of the program. It's just a huge story. The fallout happened. We do the show on Sundays. This fallout happened on Monday. So the fallout started happening on Monday. This video, the audio I'm about to play, actually has a very good summary. So here we go. Where do we go from here? Here is the Cliff Notes version of the next steps.
While caucus has only officially announced its position today, it's been expected for months. It's pretty hard to walk away from comments like this.
If one child commits suicide over the plebiscite, then that is one too many.
So, where to from here? Well, the legislation to enable a plebiscite to go ahead on February 11, 2017 will not pass Parliament. It will get through the House of Representatives, But Labor, the Greens, the Nick Xenophon team and Derryn Hinch will vote no in the Senate. The government will still push for a vote, as is their election promise, and they can say they've fulfilled their commitment. It's unlikely either major party has the will to find a compromise.
And I say to the Prime Minister,
Labor will keep pushing for a free vote in Parliament. The government has said that won't happen, and they do control the numbers to ensure it doesn't happen. Even though Malcolm Turnbull is in favour of legalising same-sex marriage, he wouldn't want to risk bringing a free vote, which would split the coalition.
The government that I am a part of and will remain a part of is conditional on the fact that the only way that there will be a change to the Marriage Act in this Parliament is a plebiscite.
So for now, during the term of the 45th Parliament, the issue seems dead.
While the issue seems dead, a lot to unpack there. That is a one minute 20 kind of way too short summary to kind of explain this whole sort of thing, but it's a nice sort of framing setup to this whole same-sex marriage debate in this the issue. The debate is far from over. It is going to remain lengthy in terms of this approach that is happening. So let's unpack this a little bit, and then let's hear from both sides. The legislation to enable a poll in February 11, 2017 will still go to a vote in the House of Representatives. It is expected to pass the House of Representatives, but Labor will team up with the Greens, the Nick Sirlian team, and Darren Hinch across a bench in the Senate to block the legislation when it comes to the Senate, I said that twice. By forcing a vote, the coalition says it has carried out its election promise and will point the way to Labor and the crossbenchers for stopping it going ahead. Will there be a free vote? Is the next question kind of unpack here. Effectively, the matter is now done for the term of the 45th Parliament, which means it's not likely to proceed in this term of government. It's the long-term outcome. The coalition has said that without a plebiscite, the matter it will not be dealt with. Labor will continue by pushing a free vote as in their policy, but the government controls the members in the lower house, meaning it can and will stymie any effort? Don't know if that's that word. I don't know if that's the word you're looking for there, but hey, it's a word, so we'll go with that. I write that down with my words for friends, so if you play me on Words with Friends, you might see if I have enough letters stymie in your words there. Even though the Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull is in favour of same-sex marriage, he is splitting his party if he personally moves on the matter to be dealt in Parliament. Who wins? Some proponents of same-sex marriage have argued while they wanted to have their ability relationship affirmed, it should not be at the expense of what they build as a hateful debate. Politically, though, it's another opportunity for opposition Bill Shorten to claim the Prime Minister is being beholden to the hard right of his party for having the onshore his personal beliefs. Who loses? Some other supporters of same-sex marriage who would have this been the best shot at achieving social reform in this term of Parliament, citing that they argued was considerable community support to pass the plebiscite. And I would agree with that. My point is that I think I have been actually reading people who have been in support of same-sex marriage, but kind of like say that it's going to be this hurtful, hateful thing, and people deserve a choice. People deserve a choice in terms of where they go from here and where it kind of settle, where people settle on on the matter. It's up to them, because they shouldn't be, quote unquote, forced to be held to this to everyone else. You know what I mean? Like, it's hard to explain, because they're like, well, we support it, but we acknowledge that some people don't support it. Whereas some people of the community are saying, well, some people of the community are saying, we do support it, but, and we do want a free vote, because, you know, we think the enough is, it's a, the enough is enough kind of perspective here. Let's hear, we've got so much to unpack when it comes to this issue. Here is Bill Shorten being grilled. I want to play this whole clip, because all of it's really good, but because I will only play this one, and this is the benefit of this first hour. The first hour, you get all of the analysis. You get all of the analysis in this huge segment. We have enough time, room to breathe, is what I like to call this segment. We have enough time to flesh out these things. Here is Bill Shorten on the project the night before the free vote announcement in question time. He's being grilled here by the project.
We can vote to make marriage equality a reality if Mr Turnbull will just allow a free vote of Liberal and National Party MPs. A majority of Australians and a majority of our politicians are ready to vote for it in Parliament.
I understand the point you're making, that it's possible for the Parliament to vote on this tomorrow. I also understand, and you also understand, that's not going to happen, because the Coalition has made that clear, and Malcolm Turnbull probably loses his job within the party room if he does that. So are you anticipating that you'll be able to do something about this sooner? Like, are you banking on the Turnbull government falling over or something?
Well, first of all, Mr Turnbull's backflipped on other issues. In fact, I mean, when he says he's rock solid on something, to be honest, he was rock solid on having a vote in Parliament.
Yeah, this is different, because this would actually cost him his job. But I'm interested in whether or not you think there is a prospect you can somehow magically, you've got a political strategy or something to bring this on so that it's not 3 years, 6 years down the track.
I think I'm optimistic that at a certain point, Liberal and National Party MPs will say, isn't it just time to get on with it?
Bill, I've seen some of the ads that were going to be run, and they were horrific. So I agree that it would have been very damaging at a public level. But what do you think would have been the result of the plebiscite?
I think probably, on balance, a majority of people would have supported marriage equality. But again,
so the end goal would have been achieved?
Well, the end goal at what price? I have to say, I did speak to Australian of the Year and mental health expert Professor Patrick McGorry. He said harm will occur.
So, Bill, I agree with that, but how much harm is going to occur over the next 3 years? Because, I mean, what would you say to the people that wanted to get married in March? I mean, this has been a long battle, and actually, I just think it's embarrassing for Australia to delay it any longer.
Yeah, I agree. Well, what I would say is don't give up hope. But again, the position that I and Labor took was informed by talking to people. And I had plenty of couples say to me, Bill, we are prepared to wait a little bit longer.
So, Bill, I completely understand the argument that the plebiscite would have caused psychological harm to people, and that was something that you wanted to avoid. Completely understand that. But do you believe that that will not happen anyway? That the debate will suddenly become more civil than it's been? That it will suddenly go away?
Well, that's a good point. My view is that where there was going to be an official yes case and an official no case, funded with taxpayer money, it would legitimise views which are not currently legitimised in the community. When we had the referendum in 1967 on giving Aborigines citizenship, recognising them as citizens, the no case didn't receive any taxpayer money. Once Malcolm Turnbull said $7.5 million for the yes case and $7.5 million for the no case of taxpayer money, all of a sudden, it gave equal weight to all the critics of marriage equality. And to be honest, I think that would have taken this nation backwards.
All right, we'll have to leave it there, Bill. Thanks for your time.
That is the various anchors on the project there. Walid Ali and Todd Sampson is the other presenter there. You heard questioning Bill Shorten the night before the free vote in the Parliament. Well, let's hear from Bill. Let's hear from Bill Shorten. We've heard Bill Shorten. Let's hear from Malcolm Turnbull. We want to give both sides a fair chance here to say their piece. Then, you know, I'll break down my perspective. Here is Malcolm Turnbull at a media conference. This is last month, by the way. This is no new thing. This is last month. Malcolm Turnbull at a media conference.
What we have set out is exactly what we took to the election. We went to the election and we said we are going to give every Australian a say on this question of whether same-sex couples should be allowed to marry, whether the law should be changed to allow that. Our job as parliamentarians is to attend and vote at the plebiscite according to our conscience. But right now, this is what our job is, and this is what Mr Shorten's job is. Our job is to ensure that the Australian people have the opportunity to express their view and to do so in a manner that is fair and impartial, that is seen as being fair and impartial by all Australians, regardless of their point of view on the issue. Now, we have set out a mechanism to do that, and I might say the Special Minister of State and the Attorney General will be doing a press conference very shortly to go through all of the mechanics, but it is a very carefully considered proposal, legislation, that will enable everyone to have a say in a thoroughly fair manner. That's the important thing. Our job as the government, as parliamentarians today, is not to try to tip the table one way or another. We want it to be an absolutely fair, civil contest where both sides feel they've had a fair go. The Australian people will make a decision and then the Parliament will respect it.
That was me turning my microphone back on after... I have allergies today, by the way. Just want to put that out there. So if I suddenly disappear to go cough and... Yeah, if I sniffle a little bit, please bear with me here. I know it's not great radio, but you do what you can. That was Malcolm Turnbull there saying to urge Bill Shorten to jump on the plebiscite train. Now, here's the thing. One thing I noticed between the two arguments here is that... We've got tons more audio. We can play audio for days on this issue because it really took 2 days of the cycle here locally. Here's the thing. My point of view, my thing, it's an argument about price and conscience. Now, to me, I hear those two words and, yeah, I know I've got my marketing brain on all the time, but it's kind of a bit, I don't know, it's kind of odd to think about the word price and conscience being used as opposing arguments. Because typically you would associate price with cost or conscience with... I have no idea. You can use conscience with rationale. I suppose conscience is the thought and rationale is the reason. So I suppose you could use those two words in comparison to each other. But I think, let me lower my chair a little bit. I think the point with this is, I think with conscience and price, the price is an easy argument to make from that side. That side is easy to make because you've got the cost, the psychological cost, the physical cost, and the lobby cost, and the cost of actually the infrastructure going behind all of this sort of mechanism of conducting, let me move my camera up there, of conducting this plebiscite. Then you've got the actual, and then it kind of, the argument switches to the other side of conscience. Now, conscience is a little bit harder to define, and you've got conscience of the government, which, okay, they have to, keep promises and all the rest of it, but then you've got the conscience of the Australian people, you've got the public conscience, then you've got the conscience of, from different angles within that kind of angle of the public. You can go really, really micro if you want to, and I don't really have time to because we're coming up on a break here. we are up on a break. We are hard up against a break here. But I think, to me, both sides need to not come together, but one side or the other has to kind of, has to, listening to the arguments, I haven't provided my opinion, listening to the arguments, they're kind of comparing apples to oranges here a little bit, because one is saying price, and the other is saying, you know, the other is saying kind of conscience, which is kind of like, is an open question kind of thing. So the opposing arguments aren't really aligned with each other, and that's coming from both sides. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday, we will continue this analysis, actually. I mean, just decided I still have to provide my opinion. Plus, I don't think I shared something I got in my letterbox. You know, I got mail. I got actual mail, and people know the fact that if I get actual mail, I would share it on this show. This thing has been sitting on my desk since last week, actually. I think I got this last week, and I don't know why I didn't share it on the show then, but it seems more appropriate than ever before to bring it up on the show in light of all of this news. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show, thanks for joining us here on a Sunday with Dale Campbell. It's 9:21.
This is the Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell.
Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday. Thanks for joining us. It's so good to be here. It's so good to be here on a Sunday with Dale Campbell on the Generic Live Show. Now, the thing is, we are continuing analysis here of the plebiscite that is happening. It is effectively scrapped. We'll replay this video. It's only a minute 20. We can play
for you. Make this your husband.
While caucus has only officially announced its position today, it's been expected for months. It's pretty hard to walk away from comments like this.
If one child commits suicide over the plebiscite, then that is one too many.
So, where to from here? Well, the legislation to enable a plebiscite to go ahead on February 11, 2017 will not pass Parliament. It will get through the House of Representatives, but Labor, the Greens, the Nick Xenophon and Darren Hinch will vote no in the Senate. The government will still push for a vote, as is their election promise, and they can say they've fulfilled their commitment. It's unlikely either major party has the will to find a compromise.
And I say to the Prime Minister,
Labor will keep pushing for a free vote in Parliament. The government has said that won't happen, and they do control the numbers to ensure it doesn't happen. Even though Malcolm Turnbull is in favour of legalising same-sex marriage, he wouldn't want to risk bringing a free vote, which would split the coalition.
The government that I am a part of and will remain a part of is conditional on the fact that the only way that there will be a change to the Marriage Act in this Parliament is a plebiscite.
So for now, during the term of the 45th Parliament, the issue seems dead.
That is your very, very short cliff note version of the issue. As you can tell, we're going to be covering this quite heavily today on the Generic Live Show. We've got some other things planned as well, but as I sit here on the 6th of October at around 9:26 p.m, it should come to no one's surprise that I have a very, very, very long-winded kind of story to this. And I kind of dipped into it last segment when I was talking about price versus conscience. This segment I'm going to be talking about kind of, I support the plebiscite. I do see both sides, by the way. I do want to put that out there. I do support
I am kind of in support. I'm in support of both the plebiscite and the free vote. Now, here's why. The free vote would enable it sooner, which, for realistic purposes, for example, the economy, it would unlock the economy here in Australia, which we do desperately need to try and find solutions to do so. It would unlock it sooner. It would cost less. That's also another benefit on the economy. It's very economical thinking to have the free vote in the country. Now, in terms of the plebiscite, I also understand, and this is probably some of my kind of traditionalist roots coming out, my very traditionalist roots coming out of here, you know, raised with a conservative family, and I love them for it, and it's kind of bled over into my thinking sometimes, and on the show, if you've listened to the show long enough, I've had variance opinions, and all of, by the way, side note, all of the kind of polls that go, well, you know, you're of the left, but you're kind of conservative. I'm like, I don't want to label myself conservative, which is kind of odd to think of a person who is gay who is traditionalist. But anyway, I can talk about that all day long, and I might actually sit down and talk about my political views one day because they're very bizarre. But anyway, so I'm also in support of the plebiscite because some people believe that it's it doesn't fit within their purview. It fits within my purview, and I'd be in favour of it, obviously, for obvious reasons that could come to a surprise to no one. But people who are in their sphere, that are proponents of the Marriage Act, people who kind of feel like it's in their purview, and next hour we'll hear from key people that will say the same thing, that if you're a proponent of the Marriage Act and the traditional marriage, doesn't mean that you're a bigot per se. It just means you're a proponent of a bill, and if you need it changed, you'll go the right way around it. But I think in terms of where I sit on that spectrum, if I'm hardcore supporter of the whole issue of same-sex marriage, obviously, but in terms of how we get there, should not be the focus. This is ridiculous. It should not be the focus. I'm saying it's ridiculous, but I'm covering it. But it's ridiculous that so much focus, and now the fact that it's probably dead, the issue is not dead, but the debate is not dead, but the issue is dead, at least in this parliament, is ridiculous. I'm sorry, it is ridiculous. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show, we need to move on. otherwise, I'm going to be caught up on this all hour. Actually, you know what? I do want to get to this. I do want to get to this leaflet. Please, gosh, let me get to this leaflet, because I really do want to get to that leaflet, because it is relevant, and I do want to get to it. Plus, we do have other stuff this hour. Please bear with us. It is a jam-packed, generic live show, and we thank you for joining us. And again, we do welcome your voice to the conversation as well. So please do feel free to chime in as we continue here on the Generic Live Show. Thanks for joining us. It's 9:31.
finally found the most generic live show. This is the Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell.
Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday with Dale Campbell. Good to be here with you. Now, we are running really, really behind, but I do want... Yeah, we do... We spend... We're quite behind. I mean, we're not... We haven't covered some of this stories that we should have covered by now in terms of the show. That's what I mean when I say we're behind. But we're... It's one for one. You know, we can... I feel like we need to give more room for a story like this, more clearance when it comes to, because it impacts the country so much, or we can rush through it by segment. I do am very flexible in terms of the show, and long-time listeners of the show would know that by now, if you listened to shows like the, you know, major world events that happened that we were on the air for, and it happens. But without further ado, I want to share with you something that I got in the mail. It is a important message for your family. Well, first of all, my family now consists of, well, my household consists, my family consists of quite a few people these days, but people that I consider family is larger these days than ever before. But I will say this, my household, where this was delivered to, consists of two people, me and my housemate. But I will say this, so to my family, by the way, this is for you, might make this clip of the week. There's a quote. It starts with a quote. Quote, "It was announced in science class that boys could wear school dresses next year," Miss White said in the Herald Sun on February 7th, 2016. The headline is, "Mother pulls children from Frankston High School over transgender awareness rules." Okay. The headline for this next one is, "Safe schools, : tell concerned parents, quote unquote, tough luck." Quote, "When people do complain, the sentence jumps here. Quote, "When people do complain, then school leadership can very calmly and graciously say, do you know what? We're doing it anyway. Tough luck," unquote. Said, I shouldn't have said Miss Y, though, that's not really giving her name away. Safe Schools Victorian coordinator, "Parents don't have the power to shut this down," Safe Schools project manager, that was in the Australian. The third headline, is there more than three headlines? Nope, there's three headlines. The third headline reads, "Kids of 7 learn gender diversity from Safe Schools Coalition." There are 75 primary schools nationwide that are currently signed up to the coalition. Now, before I read some of these paragraphs, oh, that's not really clear. Hey, there's a picture of children. Hey, that's what I just read. excuse me, cough right on the microphone, Dale. Professional. So, here's the thing. Now, before I read this, I want to mention that this is the no argument to same-sex marriage in Australia. So, Safe Schools Coalition Australia describes itself as a national network of organisations working with schools to create safer and more interactive environments for same-sex, attracted, intersex and gender-diverse students, staff and families. The unsafe side of safe schools. First of all, whoever wrote that bold heading needs to take a week off. Safe Schools uses a cover of anti-bullying to promote gender ideology in your children. Okay, first of all, feel like swearing right now and just having it just preemptively giving myself a beep. All right, you know what? I'm doing this because I can. I actually have a dump button. You know what? I'm gonna press the dump button live on air. I've got my finger hovering over the dump button. So when... Oh, hang on. How... Okay, here we go. When people say stuff like this, I want to just kind of curl up in a ball. There, dump done. Okay. I provided a, sorry for the jump cut, because I said something there and I provided, it was kind of awkward to produce. I could have just easily hit the dump button. I could have easily just hit the dump button, but I thought I'd provide at least an array of sound effects. So the last, where was I? So picture books such as The Gender Fairy, recommended for primary school librarians by Safe Schools, tells children no one can tell them that they're a boy or a girl. Okay, first of all, this program is not compulsory, by the way. Just want to put that out there. No, I was at the unsafe of Safe School. So young children are taught about gender fluidity and transitioning, the concept of two... Ooh, I can't say that word live on the air. So... Can't say that word. Hey, how's that dump button going? I can say the concept of two and more. So, oh wow, two dumps in one segment. I'm throwing this thing away. Hey, here's the point. So, every subject area has the potential to include examples of sexual diversity, gender diversity. You know, it sickens me. As a victim of bullying in high school, this bit of paper is the reason why I was bullied. Now, I'm not saying that me being bullied in high school was entirely the bully's fault, because it never entirely is, because the bully has to be provoked first for the bullying to take place. Traditionalist, but... It's messaging, like, because the bullier is the messenger. The bully is just conveying messages that they're receiving. Hello? Can I make it any more clearer? All right, so here's the deal. I haven't read the back. Changing any laws has consequences, intended or unintended. Changing the marriage laws is no different. Changing the marriage laws will impact your family. Okay, first of all... you know, changing the laws would better my family. Also, no. Okay, I'm done with that. Alright, so I just don't want it in my sight. There, I can't see it. I can't see it. It's not there. So, here's the thing. Let's move on. We got stories aplenty to get through to this hour. So, three bits of business news you'll be glad to know. So, this past week, this is a US story, by the way. This past week brought so many strange and depressing political stories. Don't worry, we'll get to them. Maybe there'll be more dumps, more live dumps than ever before, that you may not have time to read business news. So, let's catch up. Family, food, and football beat out shopping. Some retailers are retreating the notion that customers want to adoption. Abandoned food, family. Oh, abandoned. Oh, sorry. Let me try that again. Huh? Some retailers are. Retiring the notion that customers want abandoned food, family, friends, and football on Thanksgiving Day to start shopping hours a few hours sooner. This retail angle, thanks to Thanksgiving, got started in the 1930s when retailers hoped the holiday shopping kicked off with big sales and long hours on the day after the family meal. In the 1990s, as Black Friday strategies had stores opening at 6 a.m., then in the mid-2000s, the starting opens by 4 a.m., and these days it's now 5 p.m. on Thursday. Turns out those on Thursday night purchases are just stealing from Friday morning's results. So Mall of America has announced earlier this month that it will be closed on Thanksgiving. This week, CBL and Associates, which runs helps in 89 malls and shopping centres, as its property remained locked until 6 a.m. Friday. So we could be swinging back the other way, so that's good. Opening sham accounts, maybe not the best strategy. It's been a tough week at Wells Fargo, where management has seemed to be struggling with a sales tactics scandal. On Wednesday, CEO John Smough retired. Then on Friday, third quarter earnings report showed profits were up 2.6%. And here we go. If you're hungry, you need to get in line, because restaurants are apparently booming. On Friday, the Commerce Department said that retail stores rose at a decent pace in September, up 2.7% from last year and early reacting inflation. Impressive number involved food services and drink places, which have been sales shot up by 6.1% over last year. This year, Americans have not wanted to cook at home, even though food at home prices have been subdued while dining out prices are rising. So be sure to make a reservation. Restaurants have been and will continue to outpace grocery store sales. Chris Christopher, Director of Consumer Economics at IHS Global Insight, said, My God, I cannot believe that restaurants of all things, God, I'm slipping into my redneck, hasn't it? My gosh, I can't believe that the restaurants down the street have been a booming. Who would have thought that? My gosh. So there's some feel good, upbeat story for you, based off that plebiscite. And my God, we're gonna need some stories. Ripping through some other stories from this, by the way, we really did have a lot of stories, and that's barely scraping the surface of it, and we're barely going to scrape the surface of this one as well. Whoop. Hello? I'm here. Okay. Well, apparently none of my software likes the fact that I'm using my dump button. All right. The powers that be are trying to shut down the show. Ah! It's the Marriage Alliance people trying to shut down GLS. I wouldn't put it past them. So, here's the thing. Labeling fact-checking articles in Google News. So Google News is going to be fact-checking news as well. Over the several years, fact-checking has come into its own, led by organizations such as International Fact-Checking Network. Rigorous fact checks are now conducted by over 100 active sites, according to the Duke University's Retail Reporters Lab. They collaboratively produce thousands of fact checks a year, examining claims about urban legends, politics, health, and the media itself. In 7 years since Google started labeling articles in Google News, e.g. in-depth, opinion, Wikipedia, we've heard that many readers enjoy easy access into a diverse range of content types. Earlier this year, Google added a local source tag to highlight local coverage of major stories. Today, Google is adding another new tag, Fact Checked, to help readers find fact-checking in large news stories. You'll see the tagged articles in the expanded story box on news.google.com. the Google News and Weather, iOS and Android apps starting in the US and UK to be pushed out later on to other markets as well. So there you go. Two rapid fire business stories. Yay, go me. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday, Bob Dylan. Yes, he is still alive. I don't know how. I do know why, though, because he just received a pretty big prize. God, that tease is really not much as a tease at all. As we continue, thanks for joining us here on a Sunday with Dale Campbell. It's 9:50.
Finally found the most generic live show. This is the Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell.
Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday. So good to be with you on a beautiful Sunday. Hope it's a good Sunday for you and your family. Now, Bob Dylan. This is not Bob Dylan, by the way. I just want to put that out there. This is not Bob Dylan who is making this song right now. But he is in the news. He won a Nobel Prize. I know, I got rid of my fanfare. I don't really want to be testing the waters to try and get it back. After you go, Bob Dylan shocked the music world by plugging in an electric guitar and alienating folk purists. Okay, first of all, this article from the news... that was not me snorting, by the way. That was me snoring. The headline is, Bob Dylan wins Nobel Prize, refining the boundaries of literature. Okay, first of all, I don't doubt that he defined...
John is in a basement, mixing up the medicine. I'm on a pavement, thinking about the government.
We've known for half a century that Bob Dylan was a great writer. He can sling words together and make them explode in your mind. Try Subterranean Homesick Blues, which has that great line, you don't need a weatherman to know which way the wind blows. It's not like Dylan hasn't gotten a lot of awards. He's got Grammy Awards, he got the Oscar for Things Have Changed. He got a Lifetime Achievement Award from the Pulitzer Prizes. He's been recognized by the American Academy of Arts and Letters, and he got a Presidential Medal of Freedom. He's not a new discovery for the Nobel Prize to catch up with.
The Nobel Prize in Literature for 2016 is awarded to Bob Dylan.
He drew very clearly on surrealist poets like Rambo and Baudelaire. He's got lots of mentions of Shakespeare and the Bible in his songs.
The Bible is right, the world will explode.
But he also went to a body of literature that highbrow literature wasn't touching. Songwriters that carried our collective memory. Bob Dylan brought together two radically different traditions. One is surrealism, our modern experience of images just rushing at us from every direction. And the other was the way folk music tells stories. Think about a song like Cold Iron's Bound. It goes from this folk image to something that's really personal and really desolate. Dylan can do a lot of things really well. In a song like Tangled Up, he tells a long, elaborate story that comes at you just in a rush of images and a rush of incidents.
She was married when names first met, soon to be divorced. He helped her out of a jam, I guess, but he used a little too much force.
A lot of his innovations got absorbed. People write these wild free associative lyrics now that they didn't write before Dylan. People draw on high culture and low culture and outsider culture and insider culture in all these ways that Dylan was doing 50 years ago. He finally got the prize because Slim is a word slinger beyond the music. He's rearranged the way we all think.
And that was audio that I didn't expect to play. So there you go. Okay, so... where to go from here? So Bob Dylan, who's 75, believe it or not, is the first musician to ever win the prize, by the way. And his selection on Thursday is perhaps the most radical choice in history, stretching back to 1901. In choosing a popular musician for the literary world's highest honour, the Swiss Academy, which awards the prize, dramatically refined the boundaries of literature, setting off the debate about whether song lyrics have some artistic, values as poets or writers. Some prominent writers celebrated Mr. Dylan's literary achievements, including Stephen King, Joyce Carol Oates, and Salman Rushdie, who called Mr. Dylan, quote, the brilliant inheritor of the Baroque tradition, adding great choice. Okay, first of all, great choice does not fit in that sentence. So, And the article goes on, but good on Mr. Dylan for getting the Nobel Peace Prize for literature. He deserves it. If you stopped me in the street and say, "Quick, name a Bob Dylan track," wouldn't be able to. I could not name you one. Although that's probably on me to name one. But he has such a large back catalog and such a huge refined catalog, just it blows people away. He's getting awarded for a huge catalog. I don't think Bob Dylan's making any new music, by the way. I think he's a little bit too past the bucket on that one. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday, if you do not know, it's a new hour, it's a new dawn, and the plebiscite might be blocked. As we rush headfirst into hour two of the Generic Live Show, thanks for joining us here on GLS. It's a pleasure to be here with you. It's 10 o'clock.